Hello, welcome to Steve's DI podcast. My guest today is Dennis Remke, who is a Northwestern Mutual agent working in Chicago. In this podcast, Dennis is going to share his insights and experiences about introducing the need for disability income to his millennial clients and helping them to understand the need to apply for disability income protection. Hi, Dennis. Thanks for joining us and on our podcast today. And let's start by finding out a little bit about your career at Northwestern Mutual.
Sure. Thanks, Steve, for the opportunity. Happy to talk about some stuff today. In terms of how I started or when I started, about 10 years ago, I was introduced to the career. Frankly, I was a client of Northwestern's about 12 years ago, and the advisor I was working with had said that I should maybe give this opportunity a chance. And so after 2 years of doing some planning with him and seeing how easy it was to get people to plan, I joke, I thought I would go ahead and give it a shot. And it's been a great experience ever since then, and I'm thankful for the person who introduced me to the business.
Let me just ask you, what were some of the products, or what are some of the products that you actually provide to your clients?
I think we all try to be a needs-based person, find out what the client's really trying to accomplish. So I think starting from a comprehensive nature when it comes to financial planning is what we try and do. Sometimes difficult, maybe depending upon the amount of aptitude of the client that we're working with or their experience, but providing a chance for them to articulate their goals that they have and then helping them align those goals with what needs to happen for them with respect to financial planning comprehensively.
Do you have a particular niche clientele that you choose from?
I think as I've gotten older in the business, I mean, as we all joke, I think that when you first start out, you're just trying to find folks who are willing to sit down with you and have a conversation, irrespective of their age or their tenure in the business world or what have you. Now I tend to focus on folks who are probably within 10 years of my age, so probably between, let's say, 35 and 55. But I do know that I do meet plenty of folks who are under that age bracket who, frankly, as I think we can all appreciate, starting this planning is much better when you're younger than it is as you get older.
What are some of the things you like about your profession?
Candidly, I think it's the ability to have the impact on them, especially the younger folks, and not that I'm any older necessarily, but helping them achieve some things, so the impact it would have on somebody. Looking back over the last 10 years, I think to some degree, we've been able to change the trajectory of some people's lives, and that sounds a bit heavy-handed, but I know that a lot of folks will say to me, you know, I wouldn't have done a lot of these things had you not given me some good advice. So that, I think, has been selfishly really rewarding, and hopefully for them as well has been rewarding.
You know, when you meet with your young client for the first time, how do you like to start your meeting? What do you discuss?
Different every time. Fundamentally, maybe it's the ability to make them at ease in terms of what needs to be accomplished. I share with a lot of the younger folks that in terms of planning, the younger you do it, obviously, as we said before, the easier it's going to be. But there's a significant sample size out there of people who've done financial planning successfully as consumers versus ones who haven't. We know that if we can glean some of that hindsight from the older folks who've gone through the planning process and taken out the things they would say to always replicate and things to not replicate, I try to share that with younger clients saying, you know, now you've got the chance to make some really critically important decisions that, again, will ultimately help you in your trajectory of being a more successful person when it comes to this topic of financial planning. But again, it isn't always easy to find that person who is open and maybe non-myopic about what they need to do for their own well-being.
Well, do you typically find yourself, you know, introducing disability income to pretty much all your millennial clients?
Unequivocally. I this is always something that's very interesting to me. I think that, you know, your income is your biggest asset. We all know that. I think it's, if I can protect my income when I'm younger and develop that skill set of understanding the fundamental quality of planning, I think that a lot of us in life only want to look at the good things and how good life will be. And we know that it won't always turn out to be as fun or as successful in any one time frame of our lives. So I always mention the topic, and I'm pretty steadfast on the importance of it. And I think that people that make the decision to talk about or actually execute on the recommendation of getting their incomes protected I think they buy into my conviction or my colleague's conviction in terms of why they need to have it done. And I often joke that we can't argue the possibility of the person becoming disabled, but I'll argue the probability of it happening and the impact it's had on people who've either done the right planning or who haven't done the right planning.
Have you found that millennials in general are receptive to the idea of protecting their income with disability income?
I can't say empirically, Steve, but I think probably 50-50. Some right away want to object to it. They see it as an expense. And other clients who I think have more of a planning mentality, and I don't know where they get it from. Maybe their parents have taught them. They see it right away. And I try to share with them in terms of their income and compare that to what they're spending or contributing towards their disability planning. It's really an insignificant amount to protect so much that otherwise they wouldn't have in case they do have an incident.
Yes, ironically, we did a podcast with a client. His response was exactly what you just mentioned there, and that was that, after doing this disability or taking an application for disability income, right about age 30, now we interviewed him, he's 40, and he found that the disability income premium is really insignificant. And, it really kind of gets washed in there with the other expenses. I certainly agree. What are some of the other primary objections that you've seen that your clients hesitate from purchasing disability income? Or any of them, anything that comes to mind?
I mean, we've heard them all, right? I think that people initially are reticent to spend money on things that they don't see value in. So I think that price, quality, and service, pick any two. I don't think that any of the major carriers out there that we can recommend clients working with are going to be bad carriers necessarily. So it usually comes down to price. So, I think using math is as our advocate for this recommendation and letting them know in proportion to their income how insignificant a quote-unquote expense this is probably the objection that I will encounter the most and what I'll use against them respectfully to overcome the objection. But again, with any insurance, it's a small mistake or big mistake. I will always tell them, I know you don't want to do this, you need to do this, and there's a small mistake here. If you get this disability coverage and never use it, that's a small mistake. If you don't have it and need it, mark my words, you'll remember this conversation. And I say it not out of spite, but as an advocate of them.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense as well. Can you share any example of a time for when you've overcome a client's objection, and possibly how you did that?
Maybe I'm numb to it because I feel like there are a lot of objections out there. I think it hasn't happened necessarily in a meeting where I've overcome the objection. I will say that life has a funny way of happening, and most folks who have initially rebuked or disagree with recommendation who eventually do it are those who've either had a substantial life change in their health or in their finances, or someone close to them has had an incident where they didn't have income or were disabled and their income sources were either diminished or completely shut off. And they then say, wow, like now I know why you're saying to get this stuff. But that's a pretty expensive teacher.
Sure. One of the objections that I think is probably the most popular that I see in the industry is, that they have group LTD and that I'm covered. I have a good friend, works for Eli Lilly. I think we've all heard of the pharmaceutical company. And I think that you would assume that they probably have the best benefits available in the industry. But fact being is we have found just the opposite. Their coverage, just to make short of it here, was 50%. I think the cap was like 10,000. The definition of disability wasn't that sharp. When people indicate that, and my friend indicated that, he had, group coverage, that's when I, quickly indicated, could you live on 50% of your salary? And he quickly replied, well, it'd be tough. But then I said, what about 30% of your salary? Because that benefit is taxable.
Yeah.
And so, I kind of opened the door with a few questions. And then, with group insurance, I find that that being, one of the, probably one of the most popular. But, moving along, would you say that disability income is something that you offer to every client?
Yeah, I can't see why I wouldn't recommend it. I, You know, going through the pyramid of needs in terms of financial planning, I think protection of income is the most significant one. You know, we could argue that life insurance is important, that long-term care is important, having an emergency fund, but without an income, you can't fund your insurance, you can't fund your 401k. So I can't think of a reason why I would not recommend this to everybody that I work with.
Are there any tips, in the millennial generation, it's primarily a target age for disability income, as you can imagine. Are there any tips that you could share about approaching clients in this age group to purchase disability income?
I think it starts in the fact finder and developing some rapport with the client and letting them know that you're going to be an advocate to them. I almost ask at the end of every discovery conversation or a fact finder, I'll ask them this simple question. I'll say, I need to know the answer to this question, Steve. Do I have permission to tell you things you need to hear but don't want to know? And when they say yes to that question, I frankly, and in a funny way, I'll tell them that now I have permission to tell you things that you may not want to hear from me, but you need to know. I do feel like in my practice, I'm very careful when I hear an objection. Instead of responding with an empirical, mathematical answer, I was taught by one of my mentors, Adam Weitzman, instead of responding with a statement to maybe ask them a question for clarification. Because I think the more we ask questions, we can find out how strong that millennial or that middle-aged person or that retiree has actually thought about this. So again, I think that if you can find out more by asking questions for clarification rather than trying to sound too smart, you can, I think, uncover what the true objection is and then move on from there.
You know, one thing that I always found very unusual is the way I'll put it, is that when you're doing a fact finding or when you're doing a financial plan, how one can skip over what I think you and I would agree is probably the most important need is the ability to cover your income. I find it very hard for somebody to overlook a need like that. So when you do look at, you know, disability income, what are some of the features? What are some of the riders you think that are important for your clients?
I guess dependent upon age and maybe financial balance sheet, I may prioritize something over another. But frankly, I'm not always aware of every other vendor out there in the space and what they offer. And candidly, I will call your office, not to embarrass you, but I will call and mention a client that I've met with, and considering their circumstance, their occupation, I lean on you guys to let me know what they feel are the most relevant details. I count on you guys, and this is not a sales pitch for Source Brokerage, but you guys are very good at what you do. And
thank you.
I'm aware enough of the problem that needs to be solved, but I rely upon you guys for the specificity of the recommendation. So I can go back to my client and sound educated and give them a good solution to the problem and circumstance they have.
You know, one of the things that I find, you mentioned age, and age does play a big part in the design of the individual disability policy. You know, the older we are, the less need there may be for some rider, such as the future purchase option, or what other carriers call FIO or APB, but gives you the right to purchase more insurance down the road without any proof of insurability. You know, for age 50, you know, they may not be a rider that is so necessary. And the same could be for the COLA rider. So there are a lot of ways to really kind of reduce the overall premium to make it something more affordable to an older client, you know, because it does, price does matter, and it does go upon age. When an application is not approved, you know, that happens quite often. You know, I shouldn't say quite often, but it does happen. And, you know, the younger we are, the easier it is to obtain disability income. But the older we are, you know, the more troublesome it is. And, you know, when you do receive a an application or an approval that was either modified or has a rating, how do you convince the client to accept that particular policy?
Yeah, or accept that they weren't approved for it. I try to get out in front of it as quickly as possible. Candidly, maybe I know when we apply for the coverage, they're not, you know, too excited about doing it in the first place. But I'll mention to them that in my experience, more so even this year, Over half of the applications we've submitted for disability coverage have been either modified or declined. Mm-hmm. So I will say to them, as much as I know you probably would love to have this, you don't want to pay for it. I know what happens when people actually apply for insurance and they don't get it, they really want it. So before we apply for this, understand that the likelihood of this being approved is 50-50. So if it is rated or modified, as you said, or it is declined, I don't want them to think that it was a foregone conclusion they would be able to get it in the first place. And I think it just reemphasizes the importance of having this stuff, that it's not free. It's not the currency to get it is your age and health. And it takes those things combined to secure it. And if you don't have that currency, can't get it. So but by getting out in front of it before they even apply, I think then when they do get it, they do feel like, wow, actually, I'm really happy to have this because, frankly, many people can't get it and do want it. So
Yes. I think that, the other thing I would add is that a lot of people, a lot of clients, that is, when they do get, let's say, an exclusion, they take it very personal. And, yeah. It's something you need to back off of and just realize that this is one out of the million of types of sicknesses or injuries that can occur that won't be covered. And so what I try to do is kind of minimize, that actual exclusion itself. But you're exactly right. There are modified offers that still a individual client should strongly consider. Another thing that we'll do and recommend is a recon, in 2 years. And I'm sure you do the same. The other thing that we'll do, just as a third point, is mention that we can always look at other carriers. This is one company, but what I would suggest is put this in force. This is an offer. And once an offer is made, it can be rejected if it's not put in force. So what I would recommend is you put it in force, and then we will try and get coverage without the exclusion with other carriers. It may not be possible, but it's a good quality offer still. Lastly, I think we're coming to a close here, Dennis. Disability income isn't an easy product, but it's a rewarding product, especially in the event that there's a sickness or an injury and somebody goes out on claim. But with the negatives, how do you stay positive and upbeat when you encounter resistance from the clients?
I think the eternal focus has to remain on the client, and it's not about me. If what they want is a fiduciary making good recommendations for their benefit, that this is something that they need. And if you don't want it or you can't get it, I'm sorry, but you're charging me, the client, with making recommendations in your best interest. When they don't take advantage of the recommendation or they can't secure the coverage, I don't take it personally. It's nothing that I have done. In fact, I think I've provided a lot of value in discussing a critically important tool in their toolbox of financial planning that one, they may not have even been aware of before we talked about it, or second of all, now that they are aware of it, they understand the value of having it or, unfortunately now, not having it. So that's how I would always approach that. And, it does stink for them and for us. It's really trying to provide enough value to them so they see value in the relationship. But as we just said a minute ago, at least in my experience, that it's incredibly hard to get. So as you said, age and health are the currency, and you got to do it sooner rather than later.
I had... lastly, just wanted to say, are there any tips or words of wisdom that you can share, in working with clients to make sure that income is protected?
Again, getting out in front of people and apprising them of what financial planning is. If we're focusing on disability income, letting them understand that we're being an advocate for them and that this is the primary tool that will allow them to fund every other facet of the life they want to have. I don't see why more people don't do it. But like you said, I think a lot of folks just rely upon the group benefit in mm-hmm. terms of coverage. But that's only what's the word we all learn in the beginning? That's to just prevent malingering. But that's not a good long-term solution.
I'm going to go. I think we're about through with the interview. And, Dennis, I just really once again want to appreciate you for sharing your time, first of all, and your ideas and experiences to our listeners today.
Of course.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stephen.